This is Heat Beat with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hey, yo!
We have our statistician and pun master, Mr. Nikias Duncan.
Good afternoon.
And we have our guest from the Almighty Baller Network, our motherland, Chris Axman. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm wonderful. I'm watching LeBron do things that I assume you guys wish that he was doing for the Heat. But, that's on the side. Mostly, I'm recording with Heat Beat. Thanks for having me on.
They don't need him because they have Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters is great, man.
Dion Waiters is so much better. Like, LeBron couldn't make Dion Waiters good.
Starters.
Okay. LeBron was clearly holding Dion Waiters back.
So did you, what was the likelihood of the conversation now around Dion Waiters being, so are we going to give this guy a max? Because that's happening. Like, that's a conversation we're having.
When he was signed, a lot of people in this fan base are trained to hate players like that, right? So like, we went through these years of efficiency and not dumb shot taking, and Dwayne Wade shooting 55%, and LeBron being an efficiency monster, and appreciating Chris Bosh's game, and now we love the fadeaway three.
Well,
from an undersized shooting guard.
That left wing, man.
That's where we are. Nikias, the left wing. Hey. Nikias Duncan wrote a story
shameless
for Heat Beat. Shameless plug on HeatBeatMiami.com about Dion Waiters and his wing shooting. Want to talk about that a little bit?
I'm sure he really likes that spot. Actually opened up the Pacers game with a wing three. Kind of dribbled over. I think that was CJ Miles guarding him.
But how good is he from that spot? Like, because he's like you in the story that you wrote, you really mentioned how good he was.
Oh, he was shooting around 44% from that spot at the time of the story. Now, it's been a couple of games, so I would have to find it and see how it is now.
He's 21 for 47 from that left wing, which is really, really good. In the corner, he's 15 for 25 in all of 2017. So check that story out at HeatBeatMiami.com. It's called Give and Go. Dion Waiters' home is on the wing. I guess we're going to transition from Dion Waiters into Sunday's game against Indiana, because I think we all thought that was going to be a loss, right? Because it was on the second night of a back-to-back. It was a late 8 p.m. start in Miami, 6 p.m. start in Indiana. Less than 24 hours, second night of a back-to-back, no Goran Dragic. So,
And daylight savings.
So they lost an hour. Chris, did you see that game?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the Heat came out on top two because of the same reasons. Or wait, no, they lost like 102-96, right?
I mean, they took the lead late in the fourth quarter. Like, with 4 minutes left, mm-hmm. they got a 1-point lead.
Yeah, I didn't see the very last minute, but I was watching it sort of on a split screen while I was watching some of the main games. But yeah, I mean, Goran Dragic being out, I just think that he's one of those pieces in Spoelstra's system that is a little bit interchangeable, you know, like just like the drive and dish guy. Does that make sense?
I don't disagree with you. I think they missed a shooting from outside as well. Like, they had a guy, they since the shooting was so bad that day, I think they were like 20-something% for the whole game. Like, it was really bad.
I guess let me rephrase a little bit, right? So except for in the open court, what does Goran Dragic do that is so much better than what, say, a guy like Tyler Johnson does?
Oh, well, he handles the ball. I mean, Tyler has, and that was evident that day, that guy cannot initiate offense, right? Like,
it was that Pacers game in 2016.
No, it was the Denver game.
That was a Denver game.
But that's not fair.
The
to
one
Tyler
where Mike Ryan basically started.
No, I know,
his
but
whole,
but that's unfair to Tyler because number one, he had an injury, and that was his rookie season. Like, I don't want to be unfair to him either, despite my opinions of him. But I think it's pretty clear that he cannot initiate offense. And what they did was have Dion Waiters and James Johnson do the offense. And Josh.
Well, no one initiates. Yeah, I think you're right. I think no one really initiates the offense in Spoelstra's system. It's like based on this movement of always like driving and then kicking out, or like moving it and then like doing that again and just over and over. I feel like that's why it's so important for him to get down in, to get across half court, like within like the first like 3 seconds of the play. So I guess that's what I mean. I do think that Goran Dragic's ball skills are really, really good. I just don't think that they're put on display. He doesn't do like Kyrie Irving type stuff in the Heat system.
No, he doesn't, but I think what he does is put everybody into their place. Like, Tyler's a really good cutter, and he hasn't been shooting the ball well in 2017, but he's been a good shooter. So when he's on the ball, he can't do the things he's good at. Cutting, you know, setting picks, you know, that's what he does best, not handle the ball. So, yeah, I guess to an extent I agree with you that Goran's a bit interchangeable, but they can't win without him. Like, he gets to the free throw line, he's their best scorer. He's more, well, I guess Dion is now, but, you know, I think his scoring is more sustainable than Dion's. Yeah. I don't know, guys. What do you think?
I think Goran is their best player, and he's the one that gets everyone organized. I mean, he really is the one that makes the team go, because like Chris was saying, you know, it's a lot of drive and kick in the offense, but Goran makes it go because he's the one guy that can Dion can get to the rack. But Goran's the one guy that can really bend defenses and kind of start off those secondary options. Because Dion works best when he's the second guy in the pick and roll. If Goran and Hassan run one and Goran gets into the paint, then the kick out to the right corner comes, then the ball swings around. That secondary pick and roll is really what opens up everything for everyone else. And without that, you have Dion initiating, and if the defense collapses on him like Indiana did in that game Sunday, then the offense kind of died. And that's what you saw with all those shot clock violations, because Indiana would stuff the initial action and then nobody would know what to do.
And I think his decision-making in the pick and roll is a lot. And I think Dion's good at it too, but just the general decision-making. Like, when he breaks down the defense, he knows where the help's coming. He knows where to swing the ball and he knows how to get in the spots. And his mid-range has been very good. And as Chris said, in the open court, he's their best player and it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no doubt. I guess the point I was trying to make is that I think the reason why the Heat have survived so much roster turnover recently, like over the last couple of years, is because Spoelstra's system just necessitates so much action on offense that like one person being in or out generally doesn't kill everything. It generally doesn't like stop everything. And the way that it would, though, and I think Nikias made a great point, is that if that initial action gets cut off and like everything stagnates, that's how it would stop. Because it's like the Heat in every possession, I think, are trying to get as many consecutive actions as possible, driving, kicking, like setting a screen, kicking off of that, like pump faking, all right after one another, like rapidly. And if the very first one gets cut off and everything stops, then that's when you have everything slowing down, everything looking broken, and everything being messed up. Generally, that doesn't happen all that much, but it definitely happens enough without Goran that it's uncomfortable.
Chris, what do you think when I tell you that the Heat get over 80% of their shots considered open by NBA.com/stats, you say what?
Well, I think it's because of Spoelstra's system, right? Like,
a ridiculous number?
Oh, yeah. No, it's insane. But, I mean, it's insane how good of a coach Spoelstra is, though, right? Like, I mean, we're talking about a guy that we can have a discussion about who the best coach in the league is and, like, talk about Spoelstra. And we also are in a league that has Greg Popovich. Like, I mean, he's right there. I think in my, you know, echelon, the top, the cream of the crop, I've got four guys. I think Stevens, Carlisle, Pop, and then Spoelstra. And I think people are finally catching on to that because of what he's done with this Heat team. But I mean, last year they had Dwayne Wade, and that was the biggest difference. I guess they had like Joe Johnson and Luol Deng. I mean, last year's team wasn't as good as their record was either, but Spoelstra's just been a great coach for a really long time, right?
I thought that team was better, not because of the offense. I thought the defense was a little better, and I did think that they were so bad shooting free throws, though. I did think the defense was a little better that year, and I think that goes a long way. And Dave, he's, you know, Chris, I've been working on a piece, the Eric Spoelstra power forward, how he's turned these guys like LeBron, Luol Deng, and now James Johnson into that versatile four that are trademarks to his system, right? Because like last year, Luol Deng was an enormous part of the offense as a screener, as a ball handler, as a guy who moves off picks and stuff like that. And now James Johnson they're running 4-5 pick and roll with James Johnson as the five with the ball handler.
Yeah, no, I think 100%. And I think that, you know, if you think about it, right, like this all works together really well. Just the constant movement, the constant like passing up good shots to get great shots. I mean, that in a way is sort of what Draymond Green unlocked for the Warriors when they switched him out instead of David Lee, is sort of the same thing that happened when the Heat decided back in 2011, 2012 to move Chris Bosh to the five and put LeBron at the four. You now have another guy out on the perimeter to initiate actions instead of like having to set up in a horns thing or, you know, get posted up at the top of the free throw line or something like that. You have another guy who you can either pass, you can drive, and James Johnson drives really, really well. He can shoot. And that's like three extra things that you can do once you get the ball. And if you just pass it up to another guy, there's three other guys in that system who can drive, they can shoot, or they can pass it. And eventually you're going to get a really good look. So 80% of your shots are open.
And that versatility on offense translates to defense as well. I mean, when James Johnson's at the five, they can switch whatever they want.
Right. Yeah. No, James Johnson is great. That I thought he was going to be a really good pickup for the Heat. I can't say that I thought he was going to be this good. I think that almost if anyone in the world knew that he was going to be this good, it had to have been Spoelstra, because I mean, he's maybe the best player on the Heat this year.
I actually said he's the second. I've been saying he's the second best player all year. I think he's been better than Hassan.
He's definitely been the second most useful, right?
No. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's Goran, him, then Dion, or maybe Hassan. I don't know. Nikias, how do we feel? Where are our rankings?
Oh, God. I can't ignore the first half of the year. I'm not going to go Dion over Hassan. As much as I've crushed Hassan this year.
That's your trademark, man. Crushing Hassan.
I feel so bad about it, man, because I like him. It's just, I don't know. You just see how good he is and how much talent he has and the physical tools that he has, but then you see him just completely lose it mentally.
So I want to talk a little bit about Hassan and the defense, because I think we've killed him, and I know we've killed him for defense sometimes this year. But I've been watching some film, and I've been looking at some numbers. So the Heat are allowing some of the, like, per 100 possessions, they're allowing the fewest 3-point attempts. I think they're either one or two with Milwaukee. I don't remember if who allowed fewer, and they're contesting the highest percentage of those shots. They're running guys off the line, and I don't know. Are you following that NBA Math Twitter account? That they post a lot of interesting.
Great, yes.
Yeah, they put a lot of graphs up, and it's like defensive points saved versus field goals attempted or whatever. And they have like these numbers where it shows how great Gobert is, but Hassan is right there. Hassan's being challenged more than anyone at the rim this season, and that's almost by design. They're running guys off the 3-point line and funneling them into Hassan, and he's doing very, very well defending the rim. Not as good as last year because there were fewer attempts, but that's all by design, and I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's doing.
Yeah, so that is an excellent point, and that was the fundamental failing in Portland's system that I think everyone was missing. It's that if you're a guard, if you're like Damian Lillard or something like that, and you're defending a guard who looks like he's about to shoot, you can close out on that as hard as you want, you know, assuming you don't, like, you aren't just like a truck and you mow him over and then they get 3 points, but you can fully close out on that. But if you fully commit to closing out on that three, then the guard who you're defending can just like pump fake and dribble by. And the problem with the Trailblazers was that Plumlee was back there. But if you have Hassan Whiteside back there instead of Mason Plumlee, then that's not nearly the same issue. Right. So it's like, I think everyone was looking at the Trailblazers, and the reason I brought them up is because they had good rim protection stats, right? But they were the worst in the league defending the 3-point line as far as chasing people off and as far as contesting them. But people, I think, failed to make that correlation that it's like the better rim protector you have, the more willing your wing players are to fully commit to stopping a 3-point attempt. And that's what the Heat can do because Hassan Whiteside's out there.
And his numbers, his blocks are down from last year, but I think that's a good thing. He's not going for the block as much. He's committing more. His rebounding has gone up as a result. He's leading the league in rebounding. He's almost at like, 14 a game? He's staying with his man. He's not falling for pump fakes as much. He's fouling a lot less. So He's not getting the credit that he does. Not that he's Defensive Player of the Year or anything, but guys, he gets killed here, and I feel bad for him all the time.
He just had 26 and 20 in Indiana.
Dude, but they lose every game that he has 20 and 20. Why?
Well,
every time Hassan does that, that's an L, man. I don't know. I don't get it. I feel bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure out how to best use Hassan Whiteside, because I think the reason why Nikias is always hating on him is because he does have that Dwight Howard instinct where if he starts to do bad, then he just gives up and doesn't really care about the rest of the game. But on the other hand, if he does too well, then he just keeps taking shots. And since he's always taking shots within like 10 feet of the rim that are contested, it's like, yeah, that's better than a mid-range jump shot, but not that much better.
He was like doing that shot on Sunday.
From 12 feet. Yeah, and like that's not like an optimal shot. Like,
yeah, those 12-foot push shots.
Yeah, I love that. Is that what a push-off or a floater? Because I can't tell.
It's like that Derrick Rose thing he used to take. Do you remember?
Yeah. No, you know what? It's like Dwight Howard, right? Like, he reminds me so much of Dwight, because if Dwight got going back in the good old days, you could just see Stan Van Gundy getting upset when he was the coach of the Magic. He's like getting nervous because if Dwight starts to make stupid shots, he's going to keep taking stupid shots. He's going to take them all game long.
Speaking of Stan, how mad are Heat fans, Nikias, that now Detroit's all of a sudden winning all their games? I'm like, watching the standings and I was like, how do these people keep winning? They were terrible before.
Tobias Harris has played well, and Reggie Jackson looks like an NBA point guard again. I guess that's all it took.
Yeah.
Kind of feel bad for Reggie, right. He's been hurt.
He's been killed, man.
His like 2K rating's so bad right now, too. I'm sure Nikai's going to attest to it.
Is it weird that I don't like sports games, and like I like video games and anime, and I just don't like sports games?
Sports video games? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like them. Like, I don't like 2K. I don't like Madden. I don't like the baseball one. Like, I don't like them.
Well, so what anime game? Do you play those anime games where there's those girls with the cat ears and you seduce them? And
no, I don't. I don't play visual novels.
That's exactly what he does.
No, I don't. I watch anime based off those visual novels, but I don't play the visual.
Would you like sports games if Hassan Whiteside was one of those anime girls and you seduced Hassan?
If Hassan had cat ears, that'd be amazing.
NBA Street 4.
Photoshop that for me, please. Somebody on E-Twitter, please. Or somebody anywhere. Just Photoshop Hassan with anime cat ears. Then tag
at Brash.
I could probably design that. I could make that into a t-shirt.
I want that on a t-shirt.
At Brash.
Speaking of which, we at Heat Beat are now selling t-shirts. You can check us out at represent.com. Look at our Miami Heat Beat store. Use promo code TJSucks for 20% off on your purchase. We're tweeting the link constantly almost every day from our at MIA Heat Beat account on Twitter. So check that out, as we're now corporate shills. Buy stuff so we can buy stuff.
And we have new shirts coming in pretty soon. We have one about Dion.
We have a Dion. We're coming out with a Dion Waiter shirt. We have a Pat Riley shirt. We have Heat Culture shirts.
They got taken down. We can't talk about the Heat Culture shirts for right now.
We'll have the Heat Culture shirts.
We're working on it.
Show related things. Heat Twitter thing. So please check us out. Represent.com. Okay.
Hassan anime.
Oh yeah. It's coming soon. The Hassan anime cat ear shirt. That's going to be a bestseller, I'm sure.
Trust Esposa is the bestseller right now.
Oh, the Trust Esposa. Chris Espoke have a legitimate chance to coach of the year, because knowing how voting works, it's probably going to go to D'Antoni.
I think this year that, you know, I think that you have to say this if you're a smart NBA guy, because other smart NBA guys will think that you're lame if you don't say it. Every year, Popovich is the best coach in the league. All right. I said it. Okay. And you actually give it to Popovich on the years when his coaching is the difference between like 70 wins and not 70 wins. So if the Spurs end up getting the first seed and
they're the first seed now.
Yeah. If they end up keeping the first seed, then Popovich is going to win coach of the year. Otherwise, yeah, I think it sort of has to be Spoelstra. I picked D'Antoni as the coach of the year in my preseason projection things, guesses or whatever. But at this point, I don't see it. I think Spoelstra I think that you can look at what the Heat were at the start of the year and then see how Spoelstra's coaching has totally changed the dynamic more. I think that it's more blatantly obvious. It's like right up in your face. It's like, this couldn't have been roster changes because the roster didn't get changed. This couldn't have been, you know, like this, that, or the other, or internal improvement, because no player has really radically changed their game. It only could have been Spoelstra, and they're so much better now than they were that it seems to me like he's the obvious choice.
Chris, what you said kind of bothers me, and it's not your fault, but like how voters would give it to Pop if he got the first seed, when probably the only reason, the biggest reason why he'd get that first seed is because Durant got hurt. That's completely out of his control. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do with him. Because if Durant doesn't get hurt, I think the Warriors probably safely get the one seed.
Yeah, but that's how sports goes. You know?
See, like, but I find that so annoying that we're going to give Pop credit for something that he had nothing to do with.
Well, so are we going to call up everyone from the Cavs last year and say, hey, the Warriors would have won if Steph Curry hadn't injured his ankle. So, like, let's... Everyone but except for Anderson Barichow has to get their vote. Ring
no, but that's winning the championship. I mean, if we're going to give an award for excellent coaching, like, who was the most excellent? And then if your decision is based off of, like, that was a meritocracy. Like, that was something that had, like, there's a score that happens, you play it out. This is something that people vote on. And if you're voting on him based on the fact that Durant got hurt, and we do that in sports all the time. And it's like, yeah. Dan Le Batard says this all the time. If we can't explain what's happening, automatic. Whoa, what happened?
Did I have to bleep that out?
Yeah, did you? Write it down. Alf, you're not the only one. Alf.
He has an Alf.
Go ahead.
Why do you hate Dan? What did Dan do? Why do you hate Le Batard?
Where do you touch him? I just. It's a meme. Just don't worry about it, guys.
I thought we were going to beef with Levitar. Oh, you want to talk about our beef?
Well, there's so many. Which beef are we talking about?
Okay, so we're now beefing as a show with Adam Smoot. Is he at Adam Smoot, Brian?
Yes, what he's at Adam Smoot.
Okay. We're beefing with at Adam Smoot. Our very own Lefty Leif wrote a column for Heat Beat. It was very syrupy and very rah-rah for Heat fans.
Adam Smoot, comma TBH?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, so Leif wrote something for Heat Beat that was just like, it was very Homer soaked in, like, it was soaked in bias, but it was supposed to be. It was a rah-rah piece for the fans about Heat culture. And Adam Smoot's out here making fun of Leif's story, right? He's making fun of Leif and his story. Now, me being one of the editors, I don't like when people make fun of my guys, especially because he's kind of being a jerk about it. Like, he's not being constructive, and that's his thing. Chris, like, this guy just wants to be contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. So then,
dude, his Twitter header image is the bat signal saying "actually," comma.
Yeah, like, that's who he is. So he has this Twitter persona of doing this, and we start getting into back and forth. He's calling us sensitive. He's saying this. He's saying that. George Sedano of ESPN. Takes a side against us because George Sedano likes to torment us. We're beefing with George all the time.
That's really Harrison, but yeah.
Well, Harrison's making people mad on Twitter. Harrison, I think, made Evan Cohen mad. He was a guest on our other show, and now he doesn't follow our account anymore because Harrison was being mean to him.
What do you do?
But you guys need that. You guys need people to, like, call out Heat Twitter and then apologize on air about it. Like, you guys need contrarians to argue with you on Twitter. Like, it gets the people going.
It was great for our brand. It was like, I saw the timeline, people was talking about it, like, on the side. I'm like, yes, our brand is growing because Adam Smoot's an idiot and he decided to fight with us. And then that dude, like, it was over. Like, we finished it, we stopped arguing. The next morning at like 7 a.m I'm like making coffee, and I get a Twitter notification, and I'm about to open it. And then he deleted it. I was like, you... No guts. No guts. Like, he woke up, and he's like, I want to keep fighting. And then he tweeted something. He's like, no, never mind. I was like, come on, man. Have some guts, Adam.
Yeah.
You're not listening because you hate us, but have some guts. Are you beefing with somebody, Chris?
You know what you should bleep out is you should bleep his name every time. So it's like he doesn't get any recognition. So, right?
For Brian.
My first thought when you were like, is it at Adam Smoot TBH? Because, like, I went and looked him up, and I probably gave him a follow. So, like, I did. I followed him. That's what you guys need to avoid. You guys need to just, every time we say his name in this episode, just bleep it out. So he just doesn't get, he just doesn't get any recognition.
He wants to use a curse word. Treat it as a curse word. Oh my God. Oh, so I wanted to tell the story. So I went to, I went to the Heat game, on Saturday, the Heat Raptors game, which, I mean, they ran Toronto out of that gym in a way that I was surprised, even though they're missing Lowry. And I was curious to see the Heat's hustle stats because I know that NBA.com has them available. So I'm looking at like their you know deflections and loose balls, and I'm trying to filter it, and they don't have them pace adjusted. So I got really upset, and I realized that I'm a loser because I'm upset that they don't have pace adjusted hustle stats. And I'm like, I cannot think of a nerdier thing to be mad at than the fact that NBA.com doesn't have pace-adjusted hustle stats.
Well, so it took the pace-adjusted hustle stats. It wasn't like the whole anime thing.
No. It was just that. No, because that anime is cool. But like getting mad at I can't know how many deflections per 100 possessions the Heat have.
I actually had a similar thought about someone who the Heat are going to be looking at in free agency. I wish that people thought about Gordon Hayward.
I've been saying that forever. Thank you.
He's like a 28 points per game scorer if the Jazz didn't play like it was in the 90s, right?
Think of him in Spo's system as of at the four.
Yeah.
Do with him with space floor.
Everything that he doesn't do well as a four, Hassan Whiteside does really well.
I think rebounding is probably biggest weakness, right? Like that's the
thing. Well, right. And Hassan Whiteside's the best rebounder in the league. That's sort of what I'm saying.
He's a very good defender. He can ball handle. He could do, and playing next to a guy like Goran in spread pick and roll, I mean, what they can do so many creative things with him and James Johnson, like how Miami used to run inverted horns. They used to have the bigs act as the guards in the horn sets, and it created all sorts of mismatches. They can do that again. They'd have Gordon Hayward. He could be like baby LeBron.
Wait, but you don't have Ray Allen. And you don't have Dwayne Wade. Oh, wait, never mind.
We have Dwayne Waiters.
It doesn't matter.
Because Ellington is now Ray Allen.
Dwayne Waiters.
Dwayne Wade. Come on, Chris. I've thought this through.
Gianni, every time you mention Gordon here, I can't get the image of Chris Hernandez. His whole pitch of bringing in Gordon Hayward to Miami. His PowerPoint he was going to make. Remember that episode?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to make this point about Dion Waiters and free agents because I think it's important. I'm worried about everyone was already sort of skeptical about the idea that Hassan Whiteside was going to be the guy who was going to get Pat Riley's white whale. Like, you know, he was going to be the bait that was going to make the next LeBron James or like Paul George or something like that. That you know. Just Hassan Whiteside being around, that was going to get the next free agent, right? But the thing about Dion Waiters is, Dion Waiters is like that kid on Call of Duty who, when you're playing with him every day after school, he's like, whatever, man. Like, I f***ed your mom last night. You know, like, what? Like,
write that down, I know. Ryan.
So while he was getting headshotted, right, like while this kid is getting sniped in the head every day, like Dion Waiters, like clunking, like basket, like getting sat, right, like getting moved despite beefing with Kyrie, like he was just getting headshotted, and that kid was like, whatever, man, I don't care that I suck, I fucked your mom, right? But the thing about Dion Waiters is now, a few years later, you come home from school, and the lights are turned down low in your house.
Sleeping your mom.
Right. And you walk in and you're going down the hall to your bedroom and you look to the right to the master bedroom and there's Dion Waiters, arms folded, right? Like he just sank the shot from three, looking right at you while he's f***ing your mom. So like it's just like that's not like an that's like not like an appealing teammate. You know?
We have to get all of this on a t-shirt.
Dion Waiters bleeped your mom.
Well, there's your podcast episode.
Well, so the question becomes like, who's worse? That kid who's just like, I f***ed your mom, or the kid who's actually f***ing your mom? How many bleeps were in
this? Brian isn't going to sleep tonight.
Alf is exonerated. Brian, you're lucky Alf's not here, because Alf would have seen that as an invitation to say whatever he wants.
He just did it again.
I'm actually saying this because I know on your last few episodes since joining the network, like, you're always like, no, guys, like, we're corporate now.
Yeah, we're trying to be professional.
Yeah, no,
for you, and yet you do it. You're sabotaging everything we've worked up for.
Can we? I edit all my episodes. I bleep it out. Like, this is the big leagues. You gotta. Sometimes you gotta stay up all night, like, bleeping stuff out. Sometimes you have riled up guests who have these like ideas about dealing with. But okay, so seriously though, right? Like, I think that basically everyone is Dion Waiters gonna, even if Dion Waiters became like super efficient and kept drilling threes off the backboard in the clutch, still wouldn't people like, how is he going to attract teammates, right?
I think Dion Waiters thinks he can attract teammates.
Yeah, he's talking about it. Like, he can't.
Talking about calling Dwayne.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, I think that the Heat should still be thinking about this team as a team that they're going to have to build from the inside out, because I just don't think that Gordon Hayward's going to sign.
I don't think they're going to get really any good free agents this offseason. I think they should try to keep their guys at a reasonable cost, right, and continue to build forward. If they make the playoffs, and if they match up with Boston or Washington in the first round, not that they're going to be favored, it's a winnable series for them.
If it's Boston,
I think Washington's a winnable series for them as well. You don't think so? I mean, I'm saying not that they're going to be favored, but if a couple things break their way, you know, it's doable. If you're a team that made it to the second round of a playoffs on the back of genius coaching and just the way that they play, that might get a guy to bite. Maybe not a Gordon Hayward, but maybe somebody else. And you build on that. And maybe you don't get your whale this offseason, but you get a couple guys to come in your system. You keep your guys at a reasonable cost. You're a little better next year. And then once you're a little better, you can get a star. You can get something. Maybe you draft a good guy. Maybe you make a trade. You're going to have a couple more assets if you can lock some guys long term. You know what I mean? So.
I think that you have to assume that that's not going to happen. And it's interesting. Like, this was the year that the Heat were supposed to tank and get that top five pick. But I actually am looking at this draft a little bit different from most people. I think that Marco Fultz is like basically a guaranteed superstar. He's as close as you can get to that actually happening. Like, he doesn't have any of like the Michael Beasley question marks, right? And he's got like that level of talent, right? And then there's sort of a bunch of players like Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, I think Tatum's in this. There's like four or five players who are in that next tier where, unless something goes wrong, they're going to be a superstar. But this draft, I just think that like that boom or bust spot is going to be all the way down to the 20th pick. So the fact that I think the Heat are going to end up with like the 16th pick in the draft doesn't matter if they land that. So I think that really the plan hasn't changed, right? Because I'm saying, like, it looks like Harry Giles, you know, who's this guy, who's the projected number one pick for a whole bunch of years. Wait, what?
You're speaking my language.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, it looks like he's sinking down a little bit. He might end up being pickable by the Heat. And all the Heat have to do is, like, land a guy like that. But, I mean, also, like, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Some guys. Harry Giles. Like,
there's so many guys who could be really, really good in this draft. Like, you know, I wasn't buying the hype last year, but this year I really believe that like down to the 20th pick, you can like really land, if not like a superstar, franchise cornerstone type player, you know, sort of like, you know, for some reason I'm thinking about that Orlando Magic team with Dwight Howard, 'cause I was talking about Stan Van Gundy earlier, a guy like Rashard Lewis or Hedo Turkoglu, like a guy who, or like Shane Battier, like someone who's like a starter who could play 40 minutes on a really, really good team, right?
We haven't even talked about Justice Winslow yet.
Oof. How do you guys feel about him?
Well, Nikias and I, we were talking earlier, and I was saying if Justice came back tomorrow 100% healthy, I'm not sure he would get minute. I don't think he would get more than 7-8 minutes on this team because of the shooting. Because what they found is success in offense, and Rodney Magruder is a good defender, and he's shooting a lot better than than Justice would.
Yeah, no, I'm worried about Justice Winslow.
I think it's interesting. I also think it's interesting.
Why are you cutting off the guys? I said the guys.
I heard
the
you said guys.
Word of first for Brian.
I heard guys.
Had to get
go the guys.
I'll
have an opinion anymore. We'll let Brian finish, and then I come in with my opinion.
No, I think I should be talking right now.
Oh, well, there you go.
No, I'm just kidding. Nikias, you should talk.
Oh, man.
I was just going to say, I think you should cut his hair. But that's about it.
Stop talking! Let the guys talk! Why are you doing that?
This is great.
What's not?
I should, like, raise my hand like I'm back in elementary.
Winslow Fro got to go.
Stop! Just sit down. Nikias!
Told the man to sit down. But no, I kind of disagree with the 8-minute thing. Because if nothing else, with the way Josh Richardson is playing, would there not be backup 2 minutes for Rodney Magruder if you start Justice? Or even if you continue to play Magruder in the starting lineup, then Justice could still be that first sub and get plenty of bench minutes. I mean, I just don't see why you continue to start Magruder considering Justice is better at literally everything except shooting.
It's not a small thing.
Yeah, right. No, it's like not the biggest thing. Wayne Ellington and like Luke Babbitt are getting minutes, and it's because like if you shoot, then you have a place in the league. If you don't, you don't.
That's Magruder's like at 40-something% now.
I'm pulling up the numbers.
I know you were looking at them.
Oh yeah, he's shooting.
Rodney Magruder sounds like the bad guy in like an American Pie movie.
Yes, he does. No, you know what? It's both funny and annoying that whenever like anyone on the Heat scores and my mom's watching the game, so just go Magruver, like the Saturday Night Live character, like forever, like Babbitt could score, and that's what she'd do. And I'm like, Mom, Magruder didn't even score. She's like, I don't care.
It's a fun name.
All right, it's
a fun name.
Since the All-Star break, Miami's top 5 3-point shooters in order are Luke Babbitt at 57.9%, Tyler Johnson at 45.8%, Rodney Magruder at 44.4%, Deion Waiters 44.2%, and Wayne Ellington at 44.1%.
That Tyler Johnson number is not correct. Why are they not letting LeBron rebound? I'm sorry. I have LeBron on my fantasy team, and like Cleveland is actively trying to ruin my life. Like, LeBron needs one more rebound for the triple-double, and he really wants it. Like, I've never seen LeBron dart for rebounds like this. And Kyrie Irving or whoever the hell, I don't know, who's his headband? Is that Shumpert? Like, they keep trying to ruin everything. Like, just let him get the rebound. Just let me be happy. Like,
are you surprised that Cleveland's ruining something?
God, why do they have to do this? Chris, I'm just sorry. I'm watching the game, and LeBron's on my fantasy team.
No, I am too.
Cleveland's trying to ruin my fantasy season because LeBron needs a rebound for a triple-double that I need, and, like, every Cavs teammate is just trying to, like, not let LeBron rebound.
So do you mean you need it, like, a fantasy basketball thing?
Yeah, I need the triple-double in my fantasy league. Yeah, I'm in the playoffs. It would really help. You know, if I get the triple-double, then I have the tiebreaker because he has a better record than me, so I can't tie him this week.
Well, it's the third quarter. It'll be okay.
No, but they're winning by 30.
The cat. Oh yeah, good point. You see, I don't watch. Though. I don't play fantasy. I don't think about these things like you do. I mean,
if he doesn't get this rebound, I'm gonna break something. Please miss this three. Drummond, no. Yes, he got it. Okay, I can continue my show. Woof. Awesome. All right, then. Where were we?
Unbelievable. You're unbelievable. You know that.
You just hijacked a show. Talk about your fantasy
team.
That was so important to me.
People on Dash Fred are going to be listening to this and questioning their...
I don't care, man. That was like so... that was the most... I was more excited for that than like the Deion 3 against Golden State.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
No, like you guys can do stuff like that on Dash Radio, you know? We're like alternative, you know, it's like sort of hipstery. You can swear. You just have to bleep your podcast feed. But as long as you're like going off about LeBron getting triple doubles in high definition audio, it's cool.
Listen, I'm happy. I'm so excited.
As long as we're talking about like Deion Waiters f***ing your mom in high def, like it's fine.
Write that down, Brian. I so want that on a t-shirt. Write that down, Brian.
I thought you were talking about the Deion thing.
Deion bleeps your mom.
Oh, I want that on a t-shirt too. Okay, where were we at? Talking about before LeBron was fighting for a rebound with Andre Drummond, which, by the way, I've never seen him try harder in his life. More than in Game 6 against the Spurs, I saw him trying to rebound harder than I ever have in my life.
LeBron's mad that Kawhi's getting all this MVP talk. LeBron wants MVP this year.
He probably deserves it, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Him, Harden, or Kawhi?
So, you know how everyone's like, LeBron's the best player in the league, but someone else has to get the MVP?
I think that's dumb.
Okay, well, just like, is it possible that Kawhi Leonard is better than LeBron right now? Right now. Like, in, like, 30, 31, 32-year-old LeBron.
It's better. Like, overall, no. Because, I mean, we know LeBron has a playoff gear, but that's why I'm kind of fine with the whole LeBron's the best player in the league, but such and such is having a better season, since MVP is a regular season award anyway. I think it's fair to argue that Kawhi has had a better regular season, considering he's played at an elite level on both ends of the court.
I disagree, because I think in the modern NBA, offense is more important than defense. Not by a lot, but, like, I think there's how many defensive ratings are under 100 this year? Like, 2 or 3? And LeBron is a substantively better offensive player than Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi is a very good
defensive player. That's
false. Is that wrong? Am I wrong?
The Spurs have the 5th best offense in the league and the number 1 defense in the league. And, I mean, that defense definitely isn't because of Pau Gasol. But the reality is LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, the 2 second, like, top scorers on the Spurs, are, like, pretty inefficient. So it's Kawhi Leonard and Patty Mills basically floating the efficiency because they hit 45% of their threes.
Do you think that Kawhi Leonard is a better offensive player than LeBron? Or you think it's close?
I think he has been in the regular season.
Oh my God, Chris. I don't know about that. I mean, LeBron is a better creator than Kawhi Leonard. LeBron can run pick and roll better than Kawhi Leonard as both the screener and the ball handler.
And when he wants to, he can post it up.
I mean, like, I'm playing devil's advocate. Like, I actually, if I had a vote, I would actually give it to LeBron every year. Like, I wouldn't just say, well, he's the best player in the league, but someone else had a better regular season. I would actually give it to LeBron. So, I mean, I don't know.
James Harden's not in the conversation for you at all.
Well, no, of course he is. I mean, I would give it to James Harden if I didn't give it to LeBron every year, right? I think that, like, I think that, you know, the way that the reason why we have so much argument around MVP is because it's so vague semantically. Like, what does valuable even mean? And the way that I'm going to interpret value, like, LeBron is the most valuable player in the league because of how I think that you should interpret value. Like, if I could have any person over the course of this regular season, even though LeBron's not going to try as hard as some other guy, I would rather have LeBron.
Have you seen what that Cavs team does when he's not there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that LeBron's, like, the most valuable player over this 82-game season.
We were talking about this before. I think we talked about this before we went on air. Like, LeBron's made Derek Williams a serviceable NBA player. That not even Spoelstra, as we talked about earlier, that how good of a job he's done and how he's made almost every contract guy on that team is better. Is they're having career years. Ellington, Johnson, all those guys, Deion, they're having career years. He could not get Derek Williams to be a serviceable player. LeBron has.
Yeah, well, I think the question at that point becomes, is LeBron's magic sauce, passing sauce, is that the reason why Derek Williams is shooting 40% instead of 30? Because if that's the case, then, because it could be just that he's hitting more of his shots, right? Like, that's the difference, right?
But I think you have to look at, is he getting put, and I don't have numbers, and I'm not watching film. I'm just getting frustrated every time he hits a layup. but you have to look at the kinds of shots he's getting. Just from watching, it would appear that LeBron gets him rolling to the rim more than Miami did. That's just me. I think part of that is Miami wasn't shooting well early in the year, so the spread pick and roll wasn't as good as it is now. So there was less space for this guy, Derek. I'll call him Deion Waiters again. For Derek Williams to roll to the basket, there's less space because the shooters weren't shooting well. Now it's different. Now they're hitting threes, and now he's in an offense with spread pick and roll where he can succeed. So it depends on the kinds of shots he's getting, and I haven't looked at numbers. I just want to make fun of Derek Williams. Way to ruin it, Chris. Your facts and nuance. And just want to laugh at Derek Williams.
Just trying to do my best over here, and I just feel like I'm really being put down.
at least you weren't yelled at. At least you weren't yelled at like poor Brian.
So, yeah, like Deion Waiters, those wing threes are pretty good.
Because Deion's bleeping your mom.